जयं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्रीश्रीमान् अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयं नितलीला प्रविष्टो विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्रीश्रीमान् भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंदगोड़ि वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्यशील हरिदास ठाकूर की प्रेम सखो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरिगोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसीदेवी की भक्तिदेवी की सामवेद भक्तवृंद की गौ प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद बुधेश्वरी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती एवं गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वया इतरदस्अर्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयां तेजोवारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोऽत्र परमो नर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभि शुश्रूषुभि तत्क्षणां निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखाद् अमृतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमाम् यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमज्जुहाव पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथितीर्षदां तमोऽन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनं नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकोणिदातृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदां मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कावीं नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశా యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదీ భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజితచక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాలయే శమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదం పురతో మమ. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. చాప్టర్ 13 ఇన్ ది క్యాంటు 11. శ్రీ భగవాన్ ఉవాచ సత్వం రజస్తమైది గుణాబుద్ధిర్న చాత్మనః సత్వేన అన్యతమో హన్యాల్ సత్వం సత్వేన చైవ హి సత్వాధర్మో భవేద్ వృద్ధా పుంసో భక్తిలక్షణ సాత్వికో వాసయా సత్వం తదో ధర్మ ప్రవర్తతే ధర్మో రజస్తమో హన్యాల్ సత్వృద్ధిరనుత్తమ ఆశు నశ్యతి తన్మూలం అధర్మ ఉభయేహదే ఆగమోపప్రజాదేశ కాలకర్మజ జన్మజ ధ్యానం మంత్రోద సంస్కారో దశైదే గుణహేదవ తత్తల్ సాత్వికమే వేషాం యద్యల్ వృద్ధా ప్రజక్షదే నిందంతి తామసం తత్తల్ రాజసం తదుపేక్షితం సాత్వికాన్యేవ సేవేద పుమాన్ సత్వవివర్ధయే తదో ధర్మస్తదో జ్ఞానం యావల్ స్మృతిరపోహనం వేణుసంఘర్షజో వన్యర్దగ్ధ్వాశామ్యతి తద్వనం ఏవం గుణద్వ్యత్యయజో దేహశామ్యతి తల్క్రియా. కృష్ణ హాస్ బిగన్ దిస్ చాప్టర్ విచ్ వీ హ్యావ్ జస్ట్ స్టార్టెడ్ లాస్ట్ సండే వేర్ కృష్ణ సైస్ టు ఉద్ధవ దట్ ది ఇంపార్టెంట్ థింగ్ బిఫోర్ ఎంటరింగ్ ఇన్ టు స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్ before even entering to its spiritual life is cultivation of sattvagunam, because only in sattvagunam spiritual knowledge will be understood. Often, as I mentioned last Sunday also, that there is a peculiar plane in which a spiritual knowledge is transmitted to anybody. So even while reading Srimad Bhagavatam, if you are not in that plane, Bhagavatam will become boring. Bhagavatam, nothing will get in. That is, Krishna talked about the sattvagunam. So, similarly, Krishna also mentioned that rajogunam, when rajogunam is predominant, what happens? Similarly, Krishna also said what happens when tamogunam is predominant, isn't it? It is not that one will be completely free from all the rajogunam and tamogunam and purely in sattvagunam. That may not happen. But predominating gunam or predominating modes of nature has to be satogunam. Rajogunam is necessary in order to do some work, to get up from here to go there. Rajogunam is necessary. And similarly, if you want to sleep at night, tamogunam is necessary. Otherwise, you won't be able to sleep at night. So, it is not that rajogunam and tamogunam is completely rejected, but only when one is in the mood of goodness, satogunam, one can understand. Krishna says, what is spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam particularly. So, we have also seen that, in other words, even to hear spiritual about Krishna, what Krishna has spoken, and to understand that even that freedom we don't have it. Even that freedom we don't have. Because Krishna said in the first verse itself, Satvam Rajastamaidi Gunabuddhirna cha Atmana. That Satvam Rajasa and Tamasa, the three modes of material nature, they are in the intelligence. They are belong to the intelligence. So, not belong to the soul. Soul is independent. And because, so actually, although we may say, my intelligence and all that, actually, no intelligence we have got. The fact is that modes of nature is working through us, and we think that we are very intelligent. So that is the wrong side. So, in order to understand that, Krishna says here that only this jnanam or this knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to get that realization inside, Satugunam is essential. Is absolutely essential. And if one is in Rajogunam, even when he hears all the Shastram, what will happen to him? He will only take that part which is related to action, because he is ready for action. Isn't it? When the Rajogunam is predominating, he will immediately get into action. So those instructions which are related to action based, in other words, the Rajoguni will get into it straight away. He'll be right in the front, doing everything. And the Satoguni will think and sit and think and listen and reflect on things. Rajoguni has no time for that. Rajoguni is busy in this world. That's the very nature of the Rajoguni. So Satogunam pushes a person to think what has been spoken, and in a peaceful state he will be able to analyze things and will be able to absorb it into his own thoughts process, and eventually his Krishna consciousness will develop. But tamogunam is, what is tamogunam means? Tamogunam means he'll be lazy. Nidra and alasyam, sleep and laziness. These are the qualities of tamogunam. And associated with that also a heaviness in the body. Heaviness in the body. All these are symptoms of the tamogunam. Tamogunam symptoms, Krishna says here. So, when tamogunam is predominating, pramadam, Krishna says later that, isn't it? He says later about the tamogunam qualities. So, pramadam will develop later on, much later in the Ekadasha Skandham, when we discuss the three modes of material nature, Krishna will talk about this. He will say, sattval sanjayate jnanam. It is through sattvagunam that jnanam, all knowledge, will develop. Pramadam means, he cannot hear anything. He won't be able to hear anything. Why? Because he cannot hear. It is simply not possible for him because of the modes of tamogunam. So there will be the heaviness in the body, and therefore all the subtle topics, whatever that is discussed in Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, won't go in. The subtle things. The gross things he will hear. And most of the time he'll be busy eating and sleeping, eating, sleeping, one after the other. One to another, he will go on from one state to another. Eating to sleeping, back to eating, again sleeping. This state will come. If you say anything, and anything related to very subtle topics, he will just shake the head like this. And he as though it's gone in. It hasn't gone in. So, sushma vishayam, or very subtle topics, won't go in. But two things will go happen very properly. What is that? Eating and sleeping. That will go on very promptly. It won't get delayed. He won't be able to execute any sadhana, anushtanam. Anushtanam means he will not be able to execute anything, any of the sadhana. Why? Because if you tell him to say particularly about sandhyavandanam, in the trisandhya one is supposed to perform sandhyavandanam, he won't feel any enthusiasm to do it. The only reason for that is tamogunam. So the treatment should be done for tamogunam. That's where the treatment is required. Just like sometimes we also feel the same thing, isn't it? No enthusiasm, no inspiration to do any chanting, doubts about everything, and also laziness steps in and unable to do anything. Even the minimum required spiritual activity, although it's so little what we do, but even that becomes very difficult. Why? Because of the surge in the tamogunam inside the body. Tamogunam, not only that, and if this tamogunam increases and it also takes the association of false pride, then it's great danger at that stage. Once his amovanam increases, plus associated with that, if also pride develops inside, then what will happen is all the nerves, everything in the body will become very thick. And all the prana, the energy, will try to flow through that. It will all be blocked. It will get blocked everywhere. This is how the tamogunam works in the body. These are analysis by the yogis. Yogis have analyzed these things. How tamogunam actually, with the association with the pride that develops in a person, immediately blocks the flow of the prana inside the body, and with the result of that he will get sick. The person will get sick and it will develop in the form of some disease inside. So, kapham vadam pittam, that means the air bile and mucus, vata pitta kapham, all these three things will become unbalanced in the body at that time because of the tamogunam. When there is unbalance in the bile, there will be also an unbalance in the body. And if this is the nature of the tamogunam. Tamogunam in fact can take you to diseases, to illnesses. It's purely because of the tamogunam. And also, if it is rajogunam, the person won't be able to sit in one place. That's the first thing. What he will do, always he'll be moving. And while sitting here, he want to go and sit somewhere else. And while sitting there, he'll come, after some he'll get up and come back and sit here. So, rajogunam, when there is rajogunam inside in a person, he'll feel like doing a lot of things, unnecessary things. And as it increases, the activities also will increase. If you ask him why you are doing all these things, there won't be any answer for that. Just like you can see, if I say this, maybe some people will take offense. Mountaineering, they'll feel like going to the top of the mountain and coming back. Then, abseiling, you've seen, they'll tie a rope and you'll come down and then going up. If you ask him why you are doing that, I don't know. He doesn't know why he's doing that. Then they'll go right underneath the depth of the sea and bring some dirty things from there and tell you that I got this from the bottom of the sea. What's that called? Diving. So in the modern world, all this is highly advanced things. If one is not doing it, he's considered to be on the wrong side. But from the Shastram point of view, these are just just the representation of that rajogunam in a person. He has to do all these things. Otherwise, he is restless. Mountaineering, abseiling, and diving, and all sorts of things people do, isn't it? If you got nothing else, then you get into your balloon and go all around the world looking, what else can you do? So where is this? Because this is all that strength of rajogunam inside in that person. He won't know about it. Rajogunam is controlling him to such an extent. So, this rajogunam, if it is mixed with tamogunam, it is very dangerous at that time. If rajogunam and tamogunam is strong in a person, because if the rajogunam is mixed with little bit of sattogunam, not a lot, little bit of sattogunam, he will do some good things in this world. Sattogunam is predominant and rajogunam and tamogunam decreases, then automatically his mind will turn towards spiritual life. He will move towards spiritual life, adhyatmam vishayam. In other words, spiritual activities, he will have respect for spiritual life, respect for spiritual activities, devotion, and also he will endeavor in that direction. He will start moving in that direction and start hearing and won't be much interested in activities in this world. Not much of an activity in this world. So that is the nature of a person in sattugunam. Sattugunam brings these qualities that even if you don't have 100% sattugunam, although there is rajogunam and tamogunam is inside, but if there is a good proportion of sattugunam inside, automatically one will think about spiritual life. He will think about the goal of life. He will think about what is there to do in this life, and activities will withdraw from him. He won't be too much absorbed in the activities. So, the result of that is that he will hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and not much taste of activities. He will sleep what is minimum necessary, not 18 hours a day, not that kind of sleep, resting. No, only what is necessary, he will sleep. Sattugunam means, sattugunam predominating means, doesn't mean tamogunam is not there. Because if you have to sleep, tamogunam is necessary. And while you are feeling sleepy, you have to sleep. Similarly, when there is no rajogunam, you can't engage in activities. So in order to do the minimum bodily maintenance, activities are necessary, and therefore rajogunam is also necessary. So, so that balanced state in a person, and when he is affected by the sattugunam, when he is affected by sattugunam, he will have a natural inclination to inquire about the truth. About the truth. That is the most important thing. Most important thing. But Krishna is saying, to whom does all these gunas belong to? The three modes of nature. Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. Krishna saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, all these things are in the intelligence, not in the soul. Soul is never affected by any of these things. Our own nature, our spiritual nature is different from all these things. So what should a devotee do? What should a person who is performing sadhana? So when he is executing bhakti yogam, he should develop the sattugunam. That is very important. Sattugunam is so important in bhakti yogam that purification happens, and only when that purification happens, we will experience what is bhakti. Otherwise, bhakti will not be known. Narada Maharshi says to Sanat Kumara Maharshi this thing. In the Chandogya Upanishad, there is a statement from Narada Maharshi to Sanat Kumara Maharshi. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada has quoted that in the in the third chapter for Karma Yogam is discussed. Krishna is talk text 11. If you look there, that Prabhupada quotes there at the end of the purport. Ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhi sattva shuddhau dhruva smriti smriti lambe sarva gandhinam vipramokshaha. Chandogya Upanishad. This statement is from Sanat Kumara Maharshi. Sanat Kumara Maharshi talks to Sri Narada Maharshi. Sanat Kumara Maharshi is Narada Maharshi's spiritual master. So Sanat Kumara Maharshi says to him, Ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhi. If what we eat is pure, sattvam will be pure. Our nature will also be pure. Sattva shuddhau dhruva smriti. That if sattvam is pure, if our nature is pure, then what will happen? Dhruva smriti, our memory will increase. And lambhe sarva grandhinam vipramokshaha. That all the grandhi will become, all grandhi means the glands, the nerves, everything will become purified, and we will have the desire for liberation will develop in us in a natural way. So, so once the food, what we take, or the intake of the food is inside is good, then the body will be pure. Body will be pure. Ramanujacharya speaks about this in length, about this food habit. He considers food as the most important thing. So we know what it means, isn't it? What means we have, therefore devotees take always prasadam, Krishna prasadam, offered to Krishna. So sattvika food is sometimes because of the when shastras were written, the science was not developed when the shastra was written. If somebody has to write shastram today, they will be in great distress, because even the food what we get from the market is not grown properly, isn't it? It's all chemicals and things which are nothing to do with the food that's used for growing this food. So naturally what comes out from that, we don't know. And how that will influence us, we have no idea. But we can see that the effect of that comes in different ways. So whatever it is, Ramanujacharya says about this, then sattvikam means generally milk, fruits and things like that. But even the milk what we get from the cow, they say that cow should be milked only after the calf has been fed the milk. Because cow is so attached to the calf that otherwise it is not even in the mood of, even the milk is not in the mood of goodness. Because if the calf is not there, the cow will cry, isn't it? The cow will cry. So if the cow gives the milk crying, that milk is not in the mood of goodness. To such an extent, the sages have studied this nature and they have understood the nature, how the modes of nature works. Therefore, you cannot say that even the milk what we get from the supermarkets, what we buy today, whether it is in the mood of goodness or not, I leave that to you to make that decision. But that is the situation. So, only for maintaining the body, one can eat sattvikam food. If you do like that, all the cells in the body will get purified and sattugunam will develop, and in due course of time, bhakti will develop. So, then a question comes, that is it enough? It's only the body, through the mouth what we eat, if that's pure. Ramanuja Acharya gives stress on that, but Acharya Swamiji says, no, that's not enough. All the five senses, whatever that is taking in, if that's not pure, sattugunam won't develop. That means, you know, the five senses of knowledge, through eyes through which we see, the ears through which hear, the nose through which we smell, the taste, the touch, all these kinds of things. Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. The five senses, all, if all of them are not pure, Acharya Swamiji says the sattugunam won't develop. This was their understanding. So, everything what you take inside the body is food, whether it comes through any different senses. So, sattva-shuddhi dhruvasmṛdhihi. Dhruvasmṛdhi means he will have a continuous remembrance of the knowledge. Just like when we learn something or when we hear something about the truth, in order that the truth stays inside, in order for that truth to stay inside and stay in action all the time, that is called dhruvasmṛdhi. Dhruvasmṛdhi. Smṛdhi means continuous smṛdhi, continuous remembrance of it. Nowadays what happens, we hear something and we pick it up and then 10 minutes gone. Not even 10 minutes, before that, it's gone. Something else comes in there at that time, isn't it? So that is due to lack of sattugunam. Due to lack of sattugunam. We hear so much. So many years we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So many years we are hearing Bhagavad Gita. And still, where are we? That's why, because of this, Dhruvasmṛdhi is not there. And Dhruvasmṛdhi is due to sattugunam. So, when there is sattugunam, knowledge will work and meditation will start inside. Automatically, without any external pressure, one will develop meditation on thoughts centered around what one has acquired. Whatever knowledge has been acquired, the thoughts will develop centered around that. So, Krishna says here, through sattugunam, one should minimize rajogunam and tamogunam in a body. Therefore, what is sattugunam? Krishna says in the next verse. Sattval dharmo bhavel vriddhal pumso mal bhakti lakshanaha satigo vasaya sattvam tadho dharma pravartade. Sattva dharmo bhavel vriddhal pumso mal bhakti lakshana. Krishna is saying that with the increased sattugunam, a person will, what will happen to him is paramadharmam. That tadho dharma pravartade, he will engage in dharmam. He will engage in dharmam. And due to use of the use of things which are in sattugunam, sattugunam will increase. Satyo vasya sattvam tadho dharma pravartade. Then, in the next verse, dharmo rajastamo hanyal sattva vriddhi anuttama ashu nashyadi tanmulam adharma ubhaye hate. He says here that the best anuttama, the best thing sattvam, when that increases, the dharmam that comes from that, dharma means here action, the karmam that comes from the increase of sattugunam, that dharmam that will destroy rajogunam and tamogunam. And rajogunam and tamogunam, when they get destroyed, all the activities centered around rajogunam and tamogunam will also immediately be get destroyed. Ashu nashidi tanmulam adharma ubhaye hate. So, dharmo rajastamo hanyal sattu vriddhir anuttama ashu nashidi tanmulam adharma ubhaye hate. Krishna says here, Then in the next verse, Krishna says, what is the way to increase the sattvagunam? Agamoba prajadesha kala karma janmaja dhyanam mantro da samskaro dashaite gunahedavaha. 10 things Krishna says how to increase the sattvagunam. So these 10 things what Krishna has spoken here are the 10 important things what Krishna says about sattvagunam. This sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam is a very complicated subject. It is there in the Bhagavad Gita also, it is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam as well. Later, Krishna will discuss this. And these three gunas, they don't never manifest in anyone in pure form. Say, for example, you can never say one person is always in sattvagunam. He's never in sattvagunam all the time. Nor can one say he is only in pure goodness. That is also not possible. In pure goodness, one cannot stay, nor can one stay all the time in one state. That's also not possible. So, gunam sannibadam, they call it. Then Krishna says, gunanam asamishranam, that they will come in the mishram, in the mixed form in everybody. And sometimes it can happen asamishranam. So, when the modes of nature are favorable, one should take advantage of it. That is Krishna's instruction. If that happens, some people it doesn't happen at all, so there's nothing we can do about it. But Krishna's point is, when the modes of nature are favorable, for example, somebody starts sit down to chant, he's feeling sleepy, very sleepy. So he says, what shall I do? I'm feeling very sleepy. I can't chant, he says. So what is the right thing to do? You should go and sleep. There's no point in trying to push. It won't work. Because tamogunam is so strong at that time that his chanting is not effective. That he is trying, washing his feet, walking around, running here, running there, so that he doesn't fall asleep. That's what he's doing. But that's not effective. In order that the chanting process to be to have its effect on us, the sattvagunam, in sattvagunam one chants, it is much more effective. And therefore, gunam has got such a strong influence on us. This is the reason why we should chant the holy name in the morning, not at midnight, after all the work each day is finished, shop closed, then we start chanting. No, it should be done in the morning itself. So that's why Krishna is saying here. 10 things he has spoken. What are they? Agamoba prajam. Just a minute. Agamo apa praja desha kala karmaja janmaja dhyanam mandroda samskaram deshaide gunahetava. Krishna says, isn't it? Agamo means the Vedas. Vedas, Vedam. Adhyanam, studying the Shastram. Apa means water, the water what we use, presence of the water. And then kalam, the time. Karmam, activities. Janmam, birth. Dhyanam, meditation. Mantram, the mantra you chant. And the samskaram, what the vasanas we have brought with us. All these things Krishna is saying here. Agamoba prajadesha kala karmaja janmaja dhyanam mantroda samskaram deshaide gunahedava. All these 10 things Krishna says, if they are in the mode of goodness, we will also be in the mode of goodness. We will also be the mode of goodness. So, in the next verse, Krishna has spoken a little bit more. In the next 2-3 verses, 5, 6 and 7, Krishna is talking about that in a little bit in detail. Tattal sātikamevesham yadyal vṛddhā prajakṣade nindandi tamasam tattval rājasam tatupekṣidam. So, out of all these things, now, if when you read that verse 4, agamam āba prajādeśaṁ kālam karmam janmaja dhyanam mandram samskaram dashaide gunahedava. Krishna spoke about the 10 different things, isn't it? You'll wonder, how do you know that what is the best part, best water to drink or best water to bathe, isn't it? Desham, kalam, place to live, the time, karmam, activities, janmam, birth, dhyanam, meditation upon, mantram, what mantra to chant, and the samskaram, all the 10 things. So how do we understand that? That which, what is the best situation for all of us? Sometimes you may find that this cannot be practically taken on board in our daily life, because for some reason we are all stuck in somewhere or the other, isn't it? So desham and kalam, desham is concerned, there is very little one can do about it. Wherever you are living, you have to live there. So that desham may not be very favorable. Although Krishna talks about that the devotee should live in holy places and places what has been talked about, like the places where Krishna had his pastimes, like Vrindavanam, Ayodhya, Naimisharanyam, and places like that. That will help to develop Sattvagunam. Kalam, time. Time is an important thing. That means time which is favorable for spiritual activities. Early hours in the morning, Brahma Muhurtam, highly recommended. Sandhya hours, when the sun sets at the time, the twilight, that time in the evening hours. All these time are suitable for spiritual activities. Then Janmam, birth in a family where there is good opportunity to grow in spiritual life. Dhyanam, meditation. Mantram, the chanting, what we chant or what mantra we use in our spiritual life. Samskaram, whatever we have brought with us, changing our own samskaram. So, dashaide gunahedama. Then Krishna is saying here, tattal sattikamevesham yadhyal vriddha prajakshade nindandi tamasam tattal rajasam tadupekshidam. This is an important verse. I'll tell you why. Then Krishna says here that how do you know something is sattvikam and something is, because in our daily life, so many things we come across, isn't it? So many things we come across. How do you know something is sattvikam, something is rajasam, and something is tamasam? And the only way this can be understood, Krishna's point is like that. Whatever great souls or great devotees, whatever they have told us, we can have it in our life. To use, to eat, and whatever we are allowed to do according to their instructions, the great personalities who have realized the truth, if you accept their instructions, that is sattvikam. That's the only way you can know that. For example, strictly following instructions of Prabhupada's instructions on this. Prabhupada said such and such a things should be done. That is sattvikam. Should be done. That means you know what I'm saying. The regulating principles, in other words. That is sattvikam. Not to engage in activities which are detrimental for spiritual advancement. That is sattvikam. So whatever they say to us that you should do this, that is sattvikam. That is the criteria how you know something is sattvikam or not. So when you read the books, Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, if Prabhupada has mentioned that this should be followed, it should be followed. If it is not followed, it's not sattvikam. You're fallen. That means, Prabhupada says so many things, isn't it? We don't need to go into depth. There are many things Prabhupada has said in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If we 100% abide by that, then we are in sattvikam. That is sattvikam. That's the way to say it. There are so many things, isn't it? Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If we completely follow that is sattvikam. If we completely follow that is sattvikam. And if we say to Prabhupada, it's not possible to do all that. What you have told us, that is tamasam. When tamogunam influences, we will deviate from the instructions of the spiritual master, instructions of the great authorities, acharyas, we will break their law. Whatever they have told us, because if you follow that, you will see sattvagunam develops inside. Sattvagunam will develop inside. Now, if you carefully observe their life, and if you see whatever they are rejecting, that is rajasam. That's how you know what is rajasam. They won't tell you these things. But if you observe their life, you will see that certain things they are rejecting all the time. All the time, they are rejecting. This is the importance of satsangam. In satsangam, what is happening is that we are discussing things about the, not only about Krishna, Krishna's great devotees as well, or the great jnanis who have realized the truth. So whatever their lifestyle, this is why we study their life. Sometimes we say that we have to glorify them. No, not glorifying. We have to follow them. Not just glorify them and leave them on that day. That, no, like, I have glorified you. Now you do something for me now. I have glorified you. This is many times what happens. Glorification, they don't want our glorification. They are well off otherwise. Without, it is better we don't glorify them. So the thing is this, that along with Krishna consciousness, apart from discussing about Krishna, when we discuss about Krishna's great devotees or the great realized souls, the purpose of that is to understand that what they have they rejected in their life, and whatever they have rejected, that is Rajasam. That is Rajasam. So whatever they have told us to do, follow strictly, that is Sattvikam. That is what Krishna is saying there in that verse. Tatal Sattvikam evesham yadhyad vriddha prajakshade. Vriddhas means those who are advanced in spiritual life, vriddha, old advanced people. Whatever they tell us to follow in spiritual life, Krishna says there, Sattat Sattvikam evesham, that is all Sattvikam. Whatever they tell us to do, if you follow that is Sattvikam. Nindandi tamasam tatal rajasam tadubekshidam. Whatever they give up, without, they won't tell you this, but they will give it up. They will give it up. On their own, they won't use it. In their life, if you observe their life carefully, you will see that they deliberately avoid certain things in life. That you have to observe people. Only then you will notice that they deliberately avoid certain things in life. And that is Rajasam. That is Rajasam. Nindandi tamasam tatal rajasam tadubekshidam. And whatever they condemn in life, when they talk to others, whatever they condemn, nindandi tamasam, that is tamasam. So, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. And Krishna says, tatal sattvikam evesham yadhyad vriddha prajakshade. Whatever they tell us to follow strictly, that should be followed, that is sattvikam. Whatever they reject on their own, without telling us, if you observe that is rajasam. And whatever they tell you not to do it, that is tamasam. So in this way, by closely observing great mahatmas and great jnanis, one will be able to know what is right and what is wrong in life to do. So you can look at it. You can look at it in all great devotees' life, or all the great jnanis. What will they tell us? Generally, they'll tell us two things. What are they? Cultivate spiritual knowledge. Cultivate self-realization. Study Srimad Bhagavatam, study Bhagavad Gita. These things they will tell us. And on alternatively, what will they tell us? Surrender to Krishna. There's only two things they will tell you. They won't tell you anything else. First thing, study Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, understand it, reflect on it very well, and eventually surrender to Krishna. Take Krishna's shelter completely. So these two things they will always tell us. That means it is Sattvikam. It is completely Sattvikam. So in order to surrender spiritual master or great souls, they will give instructions, different kinds of instructions, to chant the holy name or to engage in deity worship or to or to engage in various things to in order to culture that spiritual activity. So therefore these two things they will show in their daily instructors in these two things. But there are certain other things, they will not tell us. But if you observe them, you will see how they live in this world. It is that what we have to pick up from them. They won't go to 5-star hotels and stay. Have you noticed? Realized souls, they are not looking for 5-star hotels. So if you follow that is Rajasam. Without listening to them, we say, well, I have to live in a 5-star hotel. If I don't get a room in a 5-star hotel, I'm in trouble. And if I start thinking like that is Rajasam. Similarly, they will wear clothes which are simple clothes, simple clothing. And also their habits, if you observe, you will see they live in a style which will not cause any disturbances to others. For example, I'll give you a simple example. Once it so happened, there was a sage living in the ashram. And a lot of people were coming to see him. lot of people are coming to see him. So naturally, when people come, they want to offer something to the sage. But sage is very careful not to take anything from anybody, because he knows the problem. Problem is that if you accept things like that, somebody else may come and see that, and it will create a desire in that person's heart. So in order that not to disturb somebody else's mind, the sages generally reject anything that's given to them. That's their habit, is like that. They live that life. So once it so happened, a person came to see this sage, and he brought with him a sandalwood walking stick. The sage was very old. He was walking with a stick in the hand. He couldn't manage without a stick. He was so old. So he thought, let me bring a sandalwood walking stick. That means you can imagine how expensive it is, made of sandalwood. So he brought this sandalwood stick and gave it to him. He took it, smelled it nicely, and gave it back to him. So this person said, I brought it for you, especially got it made for you, and you should take it. Insisted on that. But the sage said, no. If I take this sandalwood stick from you, somebody else will come see that. If he sees that, what will happen? He will also think, why don't I have one like this? He may even ask me, where did you get it? He said, where did you get this from? So what do I say to him? That was his reply. So that is that he knows that it will create disturbance in somebody else's some desire. They were so sensible not to create an unnecessary desire in others' hearts. What do we do? How do we act in this world? We get a BMW and everybody should notice it. I'm driving a BMW, isn't it? So that is Rajasam. So these are subtle things in our life. If you want to make progress in spiritual path, we have to give up the show business in life. That's what it means. Krishna is saying that that if I take this, he said, the sage said, if I take this sandalwood stick and keep it with me, many people will come and they will say, it's a very nice thing. And then the desire will naturally develop inside. Somebody will develop a desire. Everybody may not, but someone may develop a desire. And he said that anything anybody else desires to have, that thing I don't want to keep it. That was his. This is that Rajasam. Rajasam tadubhetshidam. Nindandi tamasam tattal Rajasam tadubhetshidam. This is what that means. You see? Nindandi tamasam tattal Rajasam tadubhetshidam. That Rajasam tadubhetshidam means this. Not to have anything that will create even the slightest desire or disturbance in somebody else's mind, the sage will be careful not to have it. Not to have it. So you can see the problem. When we acquire things and accumulate various things, how careful we have to be. In order to make that progress in the spiritual path, this is necessary. That this approach is necessary. He said that I don't want to keep anything with me that will create even the slightest desire in somebody else's mind. So this is ajaranam. This is following, living the life like that. Rajasam tadupayakshidam. Taittiriya Upanishad says like this. Please observe. Taittiriya Upanishad says this. Keep observing what they are doing, how they live their life in this world. Rajasam tadupayakshidam. certain things, very deliberately, they will not take it. They will not accept it. And they will not say anything about it to others. They not have it or anything. If somebody else wants to have it, they can have it. But on their own, they won't accept it. That is Rajasam Adubhetshidam. But they show it to us by not accepting it. That's for us to understand from them. Not to accept things like that if we want to follow them. So, understanding spiritual life means understanding all the subtle side of the spiritual life. Otherwise, spiritual life will... We live in one style and we go to the sage and we say to the sage, look, you are so poor, you haven't got anything, so let me give you something. No, they don't want anything from us. So, pure life. In other words, unnecessary things not to accept in life. So some of them, some of these great personalities, they won't travel unnecessarily, wander around the whole world in the first class in the aeroplane. That was not their plan. They will travel because they felt that being in one place and living a perfect life, that was sufficient to affect others. There were some of them not even wore the shoes. They walked like that without anything. So, but they never told anybody that do like me. They never said that to anybody. They showed in their life by following that in their own life. That is all Rajasam. That's all Rajasam. So again, Sattvam means Sattvam. Krishna says here that Tatal Satyamevesham Yadnil Vrudha Prajakshade. Whatever the great souls and Mahatmas tell us to follow strictly, that is creates Sattvagunam. It's necessary for Sattvagunam. Nindandi Tamasam. Whatever they say wrong, not to do it, that is Tamasam. And whatever they show to us in their life by not having, Ajaranam. Ajaranam means by practicing it in such, looking at their life, you can see the way they practice it, Rajasam, Tadupekshitam. That is what they give up. If we also give up, that means we can also free ourselves from Rajogunam. That's what it means. So, Tamasam, Nindandi Tamasam, isn't it? Tamasam means what? Tamasam means certain things they will deliberately, they will force it upon us. They won't accept that. They won't make any compromise on that. That is tamasam. For example, one sage, he had two major things. He insisted on that. Major things. One was meat eating and the other one was gossiping. This one is not too difficult, the other one is very difficult, isn't it? So he was saying these two things he wouldn't tolerate. He would not tolerate. He would not tolerate these two things. One, eating meat. He said there is no point in discussing spiritual life with that. And second thing, gossiping. Unnecessarily talking bad about others. Because Krishna also will say this later on. Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi saeva ashubhrashade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Ekadasya skandham later. Krishna says for knowledge to develop inside, if this quality is not there, what is that? Parasvabhava karmani, other people's svabhavam, their nature and their activities. Ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. Whoever glorifies that or whoever criticizes that, sa ashubhrashade, he will immediately fall. Why? Asatyam abhiniveshada. He has called on to, his consciousness is based on falsity. Asatyam, truth, it is not truth. Because Krishna says, all these things are kim badram kim abhadram va. In this world, what is truth and what is false? Everything is false only here. So based on that modes of nature, people are doing various things in this world. Somebody is working hard, earning a lot of money. Somebody is enjoying a lot of senses. Somebody is cheating others and making money. All kinds of things people are doing in this world. If we have to analyze all these things and we start criticizing them, Krishna says don't do it. All the sages tells us not to do it. Why? Because that is not harmful to them. It will harm us in the sense that sa ashu brashyade, immediately you will fall from your spiritual realized state. Asatyam abhiniveshada, because you are discussing asatyam. Asatyam means false things. One is not supposed to discuss those things. Asatyam. Asatyam means what is not sat. That is asatyam. If you discuss asatyam, abhiniveshada, abhinivesham will develop. Abhinivesham means attachment, a kind of attachment. And you will get absorbed in that, and ashubhrashyade, immediately you will fall in spiritual life. That is, Krishna talks about that later. So here also, these two things that without any reason, if you say these two things, they used to get upset about it. Nindandi tamasam. All this is tamasam. So, more than things, what is more than necessary? What is necessary in life? If one keeps to oneself, that is also dangerous. That's also dangerous. The most of the spiritually advanced or realized souls will not encourage that, to work for accumulating wealth, to work for accumulating wealth and to waste the whole lifetime just to acquire wealth and to just to acquire wealth. If one can give up all that, sattva vraddhahi, Krishna is saying there, sattva gunam will develop. Going to temples, engaging in deity worship, chanting the holy name, proper bathing on time and keeping oneself clean, that is avaha. That is all part of the avaha. Avaha means, Krishna says, agamam avaha. Avaha means that proper utilization of the water. And on the prescribed time bathing, getting up early in the morning, bathing in the morning, then worshipping Salagram. This is all a part of that process. Part of that process. And worshipping Satvika Murti, or deities which are in the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness. So similarly, to be in satsangam is important. If you do all that, Krishna says sattva abhivruddhi will be there. Improvement in the sattva abhivruddhi. Now here, a question will come. What is that question? That how does a murti become sattvam, rajasa and tamasa? Isn't it? Because there are people worship different deities, isn't it? Some people worship Vishnu. Somebody worship Krishna. Somebody worship Shiva. Somebody worship Devi. Somebody worship Subramanya. Somebody worship Ganesh. There are different levels of worship also. But it is not that mode of goodness is only in one deity. All the deities are manifested. They are all Krishna's different forms, isn't it? Krishna is the supreme, absolute truth. And in the Bhagavatam it is said, in the second chapter, if you look in the first canto, that one should worship Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. It is mentioned like that. But due to vasanas, one may develop attachment to other deities as well. So the sattva-gunam, rajo-gunam, tamo-gunam in a deity is what we put upon them, put upon to them. If we are approaching that deity in sattva-gunam, naturally is in sattva-gunam. But the process of worship we employ in the worship of the deity, it can be turned into sattvam, rajasa and tamasa. In three modes it can happen. So devi upasagas, for worshipping Sri Parvati, there are personalities who worship Sri Parvati in the mode of goodness, and they make progress in spiritual life. And there are people who worship Sri Parvati in the mode of ignorance also. So this mode of goodness and mode of ignorance has come from the worshipper, not from the deity. Similarly, there are people who worship Shiva in the form of goodness, and there are others who worship Shiva in the form of Rajogunam and Tamogunam. In the Bhagavatam, there are many examples like that, isn't it? Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there, Vrgasura worship Lord Shiva in the mode of ignorance. And the result you have seen, what happened? What happened? Sri Parvati worship Lord Shiva in the mode of goodness. And there are so many different cases, if you look, you will see Lord Shiva is not in the mode of ignorance. Sri Parvati is not in the mode of ignorance. This goodness, passion and ignorance is that what we throw upon them from our inside. What process you worship them, the process of worship, what we follow is important. That's what makes that. But in Krishna's case, all these things are not affected, because why? Sattvam yatal parabhyam. Krishna is pure goodness. Aparigalanado nirmalam denadaval buder budendriyaste vaviridhi bahusha shruyate vyasa vakyam. Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, sattvam yatal parabhyam, that Krishna is even beyond the three modes of material nature. Aparigalanado, that there is no mixture in Krishna's form. Nirmalam, always pure. Tenadaval buder budendriyaste vaviridhi. Krishna's body is not made of these five material elements. Vaviridhi bahushashruyate vyasavakyam. That it is Vedavyasa Maharshi's words, not anybody else's. It is Vedavyasa Maharshi's word. Tal sochatwal adichadidagadabarajal garbhanurbhasarubam tasmin dhanyaramande shruti madhi madhure sugrahe vigrahete. It says that tal sochatwal, sochatwal means that when somebody is in sattva-gunam, it is like a glass. You can see through it, that person. You can see through that person. Suppose you have a bottle, a thick bottle, glass bottle. Inside that, if you keep, you can see through that, isn't it? The glass, through the glass, you can see through. Tal swachatval adichadidagare parasukajil garbhanirbhasarubam. Krishna's form is like that because of the goodness. It's pure goodness. Tasmin, therefore, dhanya ramande. All the great devotees enjoy that seeing Krishna's beauty. That's why while decorating Krishna's temple is different than any other temples. While Krishna is worshipped, it's always there full of goodness. Full of goodness. Why? Everything in Krishna's worship is pure goodness. Such tasmin dhanya ramande. So they enjoy worshipping Krishna. Shruti madhi madhure. And it is nice to hear about Krishna, and it is good to absorb the mind also in Krishna. Sugrahe vigrahete. Krishna's vigraham, Krishna's deity, is easy to relate with for developing sattvagunam. Sattvam yatal parabhyam aparikalanado nirmalam tena taval bhuder bhudendriyai saiva buridi bahushashruyate vyasa vakyam. Tal swachatval yadichadida parasukajil garbha nirbhasarupam. Tasmin dhanya ramande shudhi madhi madhure sugrahe vigrahete. So having says that, Krishna is saying here that all these things will develop the sattvagunam. And then in the next verse, Krishna is saying, Satvigenyeva seveda puman sattvivardhaye tadho dharmas tadho jnanam yaval smriti apohanam. Another important verse. Krishna is saying here, in order that the sattvagunam to develop, this the 10 things what Krishna has spoken, what are they? Agamam, apam, praja, desham, kalam, karmam, janmam, dhyanam, mantram, samskaram. These 10 things Krishna is saying one should take care. And then from the increased sattvagunam, dharmam, which is a symptom of bhakti, will develop. And from there, knowledge will develop. Tadho dharmam tadho jnanam yavad smriti apohanam. Only then that knowledge necessary for self-realization and freedom from the three modes of nature will happen to that person. Krishna is saying like that here. So, if Krishna is saying here, if one follow these 10 items what Krishna spoke about, in due course, dharmam will increase. Krishna, the word used is dharmam, isn't it? Dharmam is a very, very subtle thing to understand what dharmam means. Generally, in the Shastram, when they say dharmam, one's purification of one's own existence. In other words, one's vasanas, subtle vasanas, gets destroyed inside. Vasana chayam. Or other words, vasana or chitta shuddhi. These are the same words, all means the same thing. When vasanas goes away, gets decreased inside, the chittam inside will get purified. Chitta shuddhi will happen. That is what is called dharmam. So, why is it called dharmam? What is that is taken by the whole world acceptable? When we say by the whole world, not by the people who are, by those in the world who are following the spiritual life. That is called dharmam. That means all the learned personalities, in spiritually advanced people, whatever they accept as the dharmam, and what they follow, that is dharmam. That they follow is dharmam. So, important thing is that those who are in the spiritual path, they have to follow the same route. Follow the same route. Why is it like that? We'll see that. Why is it spoken like that? So, in a natural way, if you do that, dharmam will descend upon us. Dharmam will descend upon us. If we follow the persons who are in the spiritual life, seriously pursuing spiritual path in life, and whatever they do, whatever they follow, if we follow that, and then we ourselves become a part of that, then naturally dharmam will develop in us. Dharmam will develop in us. In other words, there is a pulse for this creation. In Krishna's creation, there is a pulse. With that pulse, if our pulse also joins that, and we act in that particular way, then it is dharmam. That dharmam ది వర్డ్ ఇన్ ద శాస్త్రం ఈస్ రిథమ్. రిథమ్ ఈస్ ద వర్డ్ ఇన్ ది శాస్త్రం. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ రిథమ్ ద వర్డ్ ఇంగ్లీష్ వర్డ్ ఇస్ కమ్ రిథమ్. యా యు నో ద ఇంగ్లీష్ వర్డ్ రిథమ్. వాట్ డస్ ఇట్ మీన్? రిథమ్ మీన్స్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద సాంస్క్రిట్ వర్డ్ రిథమ్. సో రిథమ్ మీన్స్ దెర్ ఈస్ ఎ పర్టిక్యులర్ బీట్. Isn't it? A beat. So, according to that beat, if you dance, it's fine. Isn't it? Suppose there is one beat and you dance in a different way, then what will happen? There'll be fighting, isn't it? Whole place will be in fighting. So, the same thing. So, this rhythm has come from rhythm. In Sanskrit, the word rhythm has come to rhythm in English. So, the same beat, according to that, if you live. So, that means, according to that, what the great personality has shown us, how to live in this world. If we live according to that, that means we are living according to the rhythm of the world. Unfortunately, today, there is nobody doing anything like that. So it has become very complicated, isn't it? We commit all sorts of things, and then things go wrong, we will open our mouth, do what to do next. This thing, situation is happening. But in the past, in the times when sages lived, the sages lived according to the nature. They accepted the nature laws of nature, because they knew the rhythm of the world, how one should conduct oneself in this world. And when they lived like that, and those who followed them, they also lived in the same way. That's why in the past you don't see so much destruction, what we see today. Today, because majority of the people don't live, there may be one or two persons here and there who think about the nature before destroying the nature. So they don't, very few who live according to that rhythm. So therefore this problem has come. So one who lives in that way, he has got dharmam. And that's that dharmam Krishna is talking about here. Krishna is talking about here. In the, there is a story there. That the Vikramaditya stories, if you have read about them, Vikramaditya had a lot of stories, tales of Hurum Vikramaditya. You'll see, you can buy those books, like Hitopadesham, Panchatantram and all that. There are books like that. So Vikramaditya stories, one of the meaning for this this word, rhythm, is also called thalam. Thalam means the rhythm. in the music it comes very much. So one who doesn't have thalam, he is called Vedalam. So Vedalam. Vedalam means he gets into our head and makes us do things which are not right. So in Vikramaditya stories, there is a story of Vedalam. Anything you tell him, he will do the opposite thing. So something like that, we are haunted by that Vedalam. That's why we do all things, whatever we have been told, we don't do it, we do the opposite thing. We have been told. So anyway, the important thing is that how do we know that Vedalam is inside? It is that Vedalam which is telling us. What is it telling us? It is telling us that you are a Brahmana, you are a Kshatriya, you are a Hindu, you are a Muslim, you are a Christian, you are a wealthy man, you are a poor man, you are a woman. This is all created by Vedalam inside. Because from Shastram, if you look at it, all these things have no meaning, isn't it? It has come from the bodily identity. So, so if you keep on inquiring about this Vedalam, he will disappear. That's the beauty of this Vedalam. Vedalam, if you keep inquiring about the self, then these identities you will lose one after the other. Isn't it? Identities are very strong in our head, isn't it? I am Brahmana, I am Kshatriya, I am Vaishya, I am Shudra. I am Brahmachari, I am Grahastha, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. I am wealthy, I am poor. I am man, I am woman. I am white, I am black. I am this, I am that. All these identities is nothing but created by this Vedalam inside, because we are not with the rhythm in the spiritual life, in the spiritual world. Spiritual understanding is not there in us. That's why all these identities are coming. Brahmanas wants to show they are the Brahmanas, even if they are not. Hey? So many things you see in this world, but when you see all that, you wonder, where is this coming from? That in certain occasions you'll observe all that things. Everybody wants to become a Brahmana. This is another Vedalam in the head. It doesn't work like that. Krishna has sent us with a package already inside. Whether you're a Brahmana or a Kshatriya, it's already there, created inside. Artificially, if you try to create it, it'll all malfunction will start. it will go in the wrong direction. So anyway, important thing is that the Krishna also says that later on, there's no need to do all that things. Krishna says like that. Kṛtam satyam param brahma purusham krishna pingalam urdhvaredam virubhasham vishwarubhaya vai namo namaha. Once again, kṛtam, this is not a Bhagavatam verse. Kṛtam satyam param brahma purusham krishna pingalam urdhvaredam virubhaksham visharubhaya vai namo namaha. Brahmanas, when they conduct sandhyavandanam, this verse comes in there. In almost all traditions, this verse is used, very much so. That it says here, if you want to see the whole creation as Krishna, if you want to see the whole creation as Krishna, it says there, that purusham urdhuredam, urdhuredas one should become. One should become urdhuredas. Now, let's understand this, what it means. Generally, in the Shastram, in Bhagavatam also, if you look, you will see there is Viral Swarupam, Krishna's Viral Swarupam. Then Krishna is also referred to as Hiranyagarbha, isn't it? Hiranyagarbham. And Krishna is also called as Ishvara. In Bhagavad Gita, you will see these words used. Ishvara Parama Krishna. In the Brahma Samhita, in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridayeshe Arjuna Tishtati, like that. So these three words exist, isn't it? In one time, he is referred to as Virat Purusha. In Virat Purusha means one who is present in everything. One who is present in everything. So when it comes to bodily level, when we talk about all the living entities as their bodies, Krishna is referred to as Viral Purusha. Because Krishna is present in all these forms, in everyone. He is present as Viral Purusha. When it comes to mind, he is referred to as Hiranyagarbha. He is referred to as Hiranyagarbham. That Hiranyagarbham is what you see in the second canto. Sudev Goswami talks about Hiranyagarbham. Hiranyagarbha Upasana is there. Hiranyagarbha Upasana. Then when it comes to Ishvara, Krishna is referred to on a basis that Krishna is mentioned here is when it comes to pranan. Pran means that the energy, what is happening, working in this world, that all his pranan that he goes away, or in other words, all living entities are completely controlled through this potency of Krishna called Ishvara. Ishvara is that potency of Krishna, which is the controlling nature of all the living entities, which works in the Karana Shariram. Hiranyagarbha comes in the Sushma Shariram, Viral Purushan comes in the Sthula Shariram. So, three bodies, Sthulam, Sushmam, Karanam. And we have three controllers for that, which is designated as Viral Purusha, Hiranyagarbha, and Ishvara. So that is how. So in Karana Shariram, Krishna is controlling us as Ishvara. He controls us as. All these things doesn't happen automatically. It all happens because he is inside doing these things. Therefore, all these things are happening. So it says here that Kṛtam Satyam Parabrahma Purusham Krishna Pingalam Urdhuredam. That when Urdhuredas, that this retas means generally, if you literally translate, it is the semen in a man. If that is lost, or the semen is loses, his spiritual strength will go. Therefore, maintaining brahmachari life, sannyasa ashram is good from that aspect. So, when that happens, the pranan, the spiritual energy what we have, also becomes very weak. And that losing that in that way, and through the mind, and through different forms, it gets lost. And when we have all this strength, what is inside us, if it stops getting lost, and it turns inward looking towards the soul, then his semen will become powerful. And at that time, and if it doesn't get lost, and it becomes urdhvamukham, antarigam. So that's what it means. That's what he says here. Kṛtam satyam parabrahma purusham krishna pingalam urdhvaretam. Urdhvaretam. That will what will happen to him. But sometimes you will see, I see there is a letter from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati about this, who says that they used to say that he had the semen gone to the head. through the spine. But that is spoken in the language of the Hatha Yogis. Hatha Yogis speak like that. They have that process, they believe in that. But strictly speaking, it is not a matter thing. Actually, there is no matter. As much as it becomes very subtle, sushmam, it becomes the chit potency. It becomes the chit potency inside. So, although we look at this body as a materialistic body, actually it is not material. That's what we have to understand. Because we say this material body, we keep saying this, isn't it? Strictly speaking, it is not the material body, that's what it is. What it is that as it becomes more and more subtle, what is inside is only the Chaitanyam or the living force inside. And it is from that the pranan comes. And also, and if you allow this pranan, and if you allow this pranan to develop its strength, what will happen is that you should not destroy the strength of the pranan by various things. What are the various things that will destroy pranan? One thing that will destroy pranan is creating conflicts inside. Creating conflicts inside. What does that mean, creating conflicts inside? Creating conflicts inside means to please others, you do one thing, and inside you have different motive. That is a conflict inside. That's a conflict inside. In so many ways, conflicts can happen. In Bhagavad Gita also, if you look, Krishna will say about this, that you should not disturb others' mind, those who are attached to sense gratification, and those who have not accepted the path of spiritual life. You should not disturb their life, Krishna says. Why? Because if you do that, what will create? It will create conflict inside. They are not ready for that. It's not happening in the natural way. So, due to conflicts inside, the pranan energy will be lost. The energy will be lost. And there are various things. One keeps on doing things in this world. Inside he knows what he is doing is wrong thing. But he continues to do it, thinking that's what is beneficial for him. But inside he knows morally what is being done is wrong. Is wrong. So once you have a doubt about something, that what you are doing is a wrong thing, and still if you continue to do it, thinking that it may be beneficial to you from a material level or some other reason, if it's beneficial, that can create conflicts inside. And that conflict will cause problems later. Similarly, another thing that can cause conflict is sense gratification. That can cause is sense gratification. So, due to different excitement or emotions, and due to different conflicts, or due to sense gratification, if we lose pranan, the spiritual energy, what should one do? So, yoga sadhana, different yoga systems, Hatha Yogam, Kundalini Yogam, all these things are only in that direction pointing out. But Vedas are saying, Kridam Satyam Param Brahma Purusham Krishna Bangalam Shyamam Prabhadi Sharanam Prabhadi. That Chaitanya Surubam, that living force inside Brahman, that whatever that is experiencing in this world through the senses is also Brahman. If that realization is there, that that the same thing what is inside, he is present outside also, in manifested in different forms. Manifested in different forms. These things are a little bit difficult to understand, because this is all come from practicing it, not by speaking about it. That as much as we understand what Krishna is saying here, if we develop and cultivate that understanding, Krishna is saying there, it will turn out that what is inside is outside as well. That's not a different thing. What we see as truth in the world through our senses is also because the truth is inside. Remember, we discussed this before. Because the truth is inside, when we see another object in this world, we attach some truthfulness to it. Where is that truthfulness coming from? It is coming from inside. If Krishna has not given us that understanding, a particular object as a truth, we experience something as a truth in this world. So that truthfulness is that quality which we are imposing upon a particular object is coming from inside the truth which is inside us. Because of Krishna's presence inside, we are able to attribute the reality for so many other living entities. Why? Krishna is present there, Krishna is present inside. The Krishna inside us is telling us that particular living entity is also a truth because he is present inside there. So, so in order to know that, Krishna says that knowledge is necessary. In order to know that knowledge is necessary, in order to execute our vyavaharam or our business in this world, dharmam is necessary. You see, sages have set up a system in such a way that it does not create conflict inside. One side, spiritual knowledge for developing that realization of the truth. On the other hand, because we live in this world, we have to conduct our business also. But while conducting that business, it does not create any conflict or disturbances inside. Therefore, they have created dharmam for that purpose. That is the purpose of dharmam. Dharmam on its own won't realize the truth. Dharmam can help you not to allow to create disturbances inside in realizing the truth. That's the way it works. So on the one hand, searching after the knowledge, searching after the realizing the truth, realizing the our spiritual identity, the chaitanyam or the living force inside for which knowledge is necessary, absolutely necessary. On the other hand, because we have to live in this world, conduct our business here in vyavaharam, dharmam is necessary. Why? Because with dharmam, if we execute our vyavaharam in this world, it will not contradict and cause confusion and conflicts inside, which will become hamper our self-realization. That is the connection between the two. So that's why satyam, rajasam, tamasam is a very complex subject. When we start looking at it, every second we have to be so thoughtful about what we are doing. But unfortunately, most of us are put into a situation where there is not much freedom, isn't it? That's why the modern civilization is so much criticized for this reason, that an individual doesn't have any option. He has to follow like a sheep or a goat for the whole society is doing. And within that, to develop spiritual life is getting very, very difficult. Today, we have reached a stage now, only for food, we have to go and earn the money. Tomorrow, what they are trying to do now is that through these computers and all other things, they want to keep all the records of every individual at everywhere. And eventually they are saying that they want to have your DNA and whatever that is called. And they want to program your mind also, control your intelligence also by the government according to their plans, whatever they want. This will all happen later on. As Kali Yuga advances, this is what will happen. That we will be controlled completely. There will be no Srimad Bhagavatam. You won't be able to take Bhagavatam in the hand because you will be so much controlled in your life. Already we are under great control, isn't it? Under terribly, we are controlled in everything. What we eat, controlled. You can't, what we drink, you are controlled. In everything, you are controlled to a very, very large degree. And this freedom in spiritual life, what we want to have, is not happening there. So much controlled by everything, isn't it? So much controlled by everything. So it says here that the that in order, if you live according to dharmam in this world, if you conduct a vyavaharam, what is the advantage? Raga dvesham won't develop. Remember, in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this, isn't it? Raga dvesham vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Then in order that ragadvesham don't develop inside, Krishna says there, everything should be done according to dharmam. Otherwise, if you do things in a dharmic way, ragadvesham will come. And once ragadvesham develops inside, what next thing? Kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam will come. So these four things, ragam, dvesham, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam will be the immediate result. With the result of that, you see, that is Krishna is saying that this knowledge won't work. It will not have any effect. So, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Without allowing that to develop, if we accept that this superior nature, material nature, or the energy that is controlling this whole world, that is sitting within all of us and making us to do certain things. If we accept it in that way, as Antaryami. Krishna is present in everyone. And then if we act in that way, without going against that, that means by Krishna's arrangement, our life in this world goes on in a particular way. Without going against that, not standing against that, and without any prejudice or without any bias, if we act in that way, then allow the body to go its own way. Shariram. Shariram means that Shariram is a upadhi, isn't it? Upadhi means through which we live. The body is there only through which we live in this world. So, if you leave the body to dharmam, allow the body to act in the dharmam what it is engaged in. But on the other hand, inside to develop the knowledge of the soul or our real identity. If you do that, Krishna is saying here, kridam satyam, then what will happen? Krishna pingalam. That Krishna and pingalam, that Brahmam will manifest for him. That means inside as Antaryami, outside as his presence through all other living entities. Inside as the living force, Chaitanyam, and the Jnani or the realized soul is always situated in that platform of Chaitanyam or the living force. Then, on the Vyavaharam stage, while dealing with this world, he is always surrendered to Krishna. When you read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam also, these two things we should not get mixed up, two things together. That Krishna talks about certain things in relationship with the soul. Krishna talks certain things in relationship with the body. That we have to very clearly segregate them. Because Arjuna made this mistake in the Bhagavad Gita. He mixed up both and started asking questions. Isn't it? Vyamishraneva Vakena. In the third chapter, Krishna started this question. Arjuna asked this question. Talkim karmani ghoremam niyojayasi keshava. Why do you engage me in this war? Same thing in the Bhagavad Gita, what we have heard, what we talked about, is the same thing. That on the one hand, Krishna spoke to Arjuna about Sanghyam. Sankhya Buddhi, isn't it? Jnanam was spoken. And the very next moment, Krishna spoke to Arjuna to fight the war. And Arjuna got mixed up both. On the one hand, Krishna was saying to Arjuna that keep yourself in your spiritual identity. And then conduct the business with the body, vyavaharam in this world, with dharmam. That's all what Krishna told him in the second chapter. But because Arjuna did not see that very clearly between the jnanam and the yogam properly, Arjuna asked this question, Talkim karmani ghoremam, niyo jaisi keshava, vyamishrayanaiva vakena. Isn't it? Shrayohim apniyad, tell me what is good for me. Why did that doubt come? Because of this. So, spiritual life, we have to know this. On the one hand, we have to execute the spiritual life based on the platform of spirituality, realizing the truth, identifying with the soul, and completely situated in the self. On the other hand, bodily level, we have to conduct our business in this world as in the normal way, in the vyavaharam, in a dharmic way, so that it doesn't create any conflicts inside. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, if we do like that in both ways, he will become Urdhva Retas. His Retas will go up. And all his energy will not be wasted, and not only that, little by little, all his nerves and everything will get purified. And the flow will be very... And the chittam inside will be purified. And because his false ego surrenders there. Why? Because he has surrendered to Krishna. Sharanagati. Sharanagati is there in him. Spiritual life is the combination of all these things. It is the way Krishna instructs Uddhava is this. That Sharanagati is necessary. Surrender to Krishna is necessary. In order that Sharanagati to happen, the search for the soul should be going on inside. Otherwise, Sharanagati won't happen. Otherwise, what will happen is, we will simply say, I am surrendered. But because the search is not there for the soul, and acceptance of the truth inside has not developed inside, therefore, this Sharanagati will remain on the lips. It won't go deeper than that. That's why Krishna says here that what will happen is that the purification will happen up inside
and he will become Chitsarupam. That Chitta will purify inside. Virubhasham. Urdhuredam Virubhasham. But the eyes which are going externally now, they will, instead of that, they will start looking towards the soul. Now, the eyes in our body is looking for different forms in this world. Isn't it? Different forms. We are captivated by that. Beautiful things in this world. Or any kinds of sense gratification. Different forms, what appeals to us or attracts us, our eyes. These eyes will lose that eyesight of seeing the forms in that way. Rather, the eyes will turn inwards looking for the soul. Looking for the soul. So therefore, one who has his vision which is directed towards the soul, therefore he is called Adhokshaja. The word Adhokshaja is coming from there. You will see in the Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam is very interesting sometimes to study. You will only see when you start reading through Bhagavadam some very, very interesting things. Example. When Krishna appeared in this planet, as Yashoda Devi's son and then Devaki's Devaki's womb, he came out. Devaki Nandana, Yashoda Nandana, we call Krishna like that, isn't it? Or Vasudeva Nandana, we call him like that. In the Bhagavadam, appearance is all discussed very well. Very nicely discussed in the Srimad Bhagavadam. If you look, when Krishna appeared in front of Vasudeva first, four-handed form, Chaturbahu form, conch shell, disc, lotus flower and club, with the crown, everything. Vilumangalam gives a very graphic description of Krishna's appearance in the Karnamratam. So Krishna appeared there. Normally, when you see a very beautiful form appears in front of you, what will everybody do? What will anyone do? He will see that beautiful form and appreciate that beauty. Isn't it? He'll appreciate the beauty. When Krishna appeared, Vasudeva started glorifying Krishna. If you look at glorification, not a little reference to the form. Straight away started speaking about Krishna. Vididosi Bhaval Sakshal, who are you? He's explaining that there. And exactly the same thing Devaki Devi also did to Krishna. Neither of them spoke about that beautiful form of Krishna first. First they said, who are you? They said, we understand who you are. It is this way that they started the glorification. Normally, suppose somebody has come very nicely dressed in front of you, very well dressed. We'll say, oh, you look very smart, don't you? We'll say that first thing. Oh, you look very attractive, or you look very smart. So this is an immediate reaction from us. And Krishna is dressed up very well and came, but the reaction from Vasudeva and Devaki, if you look into Bhagavadam, the first verses, both in the 10th canto, you can see, I think it is in the 3rd chapter, you will see there that the Krishna's, the words what, the words what Vasudeva has spoken and Devaki Devi has spoken, both of them. Devaki Devi is saying like this, Rūvam yaltal prahuravyaktam adhyam brahma jyotir nirgunam nirvigaram satamatram nirvishesham niriham sattvam sakshal vishnu adhyalmadipaha. This is the first verse. And then if you look, Devaki's prayers, Devaki's glorification, about 5 or 6 verses, is all talking about Krishna's absolute truth, position as the absolute truth. Absolute truth. This is wonderful because Krishna comes in front of you and Devaki Devi is speaking about Krishna as the absolute truth there. There is no reference to Krishna's form there, much discussed. And Vasudeva also did exactly the same thing. Vasudeva's prayers, if you look. Vididosi Bhavan Sakshal Purusha Prakrdeya Para Kevalanu Bhavananda Swarupa Sarva Buddhidrak Sa Eva Swaprakriti Edam Srishtuagre Trigunalmagam Tadanutvam Apravirshta Pravishtam Iva Bhavyasem. So when you go home, if you take this 10th canto and look at, carefully study these prayers from Vasudeva and Devaki, and then you start thinking, why did they glorify like this, in this way? Generally, a father and mother, when they see a child nicely dressed and comes in front of him, he'll say, oh, you look very smart, doesn't he? You give him a word, a congratulations like that. Or you give, recognize that, how nice he looks. But neither Vasudeva nor Devaki did that. They spoke in a completely different way. So when you read those verses, you will see that interesting thing in the Bhagavatam. So all these things are there in the Bhagavatam. So so Krishna is saying here that the that the when that vision to which is directed towards the living entities outside and different forms, when it turns inwards towards the soul, all our senses start looking inwards towards the soul, that or towards the soul, it is called Athokshajan. So in that situation, Krishna is saying, Vishwam Pashyati Sushmadrak. This is Krishna's statement in the Bhagavatam. This chapter, unfortunately, has to come from various chapters. There is so many things inside. Krishna says, when that state happens, Vishwam Pashyati Sushmadrak. He will see this world in its subtle form. Now what do we see this world? We see this world in the gross form. Isn't it? In its gross form, we see this world. Which means what? All the mountains, rivers, buildings, and different personalities, and animals, birds, bees, aquatics, whatever that is in the creation, that is all the vision in the gross level. Isn't it? Vision in the gross level. Accordingly, what is the impact on us? Ragam, dvesham. Two things with all the living entities. But Krishna says, when the vision, when all the senses have gone inwards and start looking towards the soul, Vishwam Pashyadi Sushmadrik, he will only see this Vishwam or this creation purely on a subtle level. Sushmadrik. Sushmatvam will come to that person. So, because when he sees that Vishwam or this creation in his subtle form, in the extremely subtle form, Vishwarupayavai Namo Namaha. That prayer ends like that. Vishwarupayavai Namo Namaha. Vishwarupayavai Namo Namaha. In other words, he is seeing this whole creation, nothing but Krishna, and he pays his obeisances to him. This is a prayer from the Sandhyavandanam prayers for the Brahmanas. This one comes there. Vishwarupayavai Namo Namaha. Now, what it is that understood? No. It is not for understanding. It is for realizing. That's why. Theoretically, you can say, yes, it can be like this, it can be like that. But those who are, this is why Sandhyavandanam is given so much importance, that when one who executes these things, eventually one is supposed to realize this. That Vishwarupayavai Namo Namaha, it is Krishna's form only, that is what we are perceiving in this whole creation. That is what it is said here. So, Hridam Satyam. Krishna is Hridam and Satyam. That once we realize that truth, we also become complete. Externally, Dharmam. Internally, knowledge. Internally, knowledge. And depending on the knowledge, we have to be situated in spiritual life. Externally, we have to conduct our business based on Dharmam. Based on Dharmam. And for that, we require complete independence. Complete independence. So this independence means, what it means is that our dharmam, one's dharmam may not be the dharmam of another person. One person's dharmam may not be the dharmam of another person. This is why in the ancient systems or ancient way of life, they specifically created this varnashramam for this reason. That based on varnashrama dharmam, this mix-up will not happen. Mixing up means what? If a person who has such vasanas which are not conducive for spiritual life, if he engages in spiritual activities and guides others in the spiritual direction, he will only create chaos. He'll only create chaos. Similarly, a person who has qualities which are meant for rajasic nature, or who has more of the kshatriya qualities, if he engages in brahmana activities, also will cause problems. Similarly, vaishya, shudra, all. So this varnashrama dharmam, originally when it was created, the purpose was that based on the vasanas inside, because everyone comes to this world with certain vasanas, isn't it? So let the vasana also get dissipated by executing that particular activity. That's why varnams have come like that. So one who has that vasana, he should be given the opportunity to engage in that activity so that the vasana will get fulfilled and ultimately it will not cause any disturbances inside. So when we see this, that in order that to execute this dharmam properly, we need that freedom, isn't it? We need that freedom in the society. But because society doesn't allow that freedom anymore, because of the tight control the society has put in, now there is only one varnam in this world, isn't it? Majority, if you look at the modern society, you can see there is practically 90% belong to one dharmam, one varnam, and probably the second 10% belongs to the other varnam, Vaishya and Shudra, isn't it? Few are Vaishyas and majority are Shudras. Even Vaishyas are not perfect Vaishyas, nor the Shudras are perfect Shudras either. So practically, we have lost that. Based on our internal qualities, that differentiation has not happened. Everyone is forced to act in that way. So what will happen is, if one does that, one thing we have to realize, not one person can become like another person. That's not possible. When we talk about all the Mahatmas, all you can do is to take the inspiration from them. That's all you can do. But if you think you can become like them, you can forget it. It won't happen. It's better to recognize that in the beginning. Suppose we say, we'll all become one Prabhupada one day. Will it happen? It won't happen. That's not possible also. That's because the vasanas that was inside, and the way Krishna has taken that jiva in a living entity in a particular way, and given that perfection, may not happen to everybody else. Each of us will be driven differently. If we accept that, then there is no question of competition coming. Why does competition come? Competition come, I want to become like somebody else, isn't it? This is very strongly, when it starts working, then you will do anything to get that. And in that process, you will destroy yourself. You will destroy yourself. So that's why in spiritual life it is mentioned all the time, one person cannot become like another person. You are yourself, I am myself, somebody else is himself. It will always be like that. So similarly, in all our bodily activities and in all our vyavaharams, all dealings also, each of us have our own way, route to follow that we have to find out. We can't look at somebody, how he conducts his affairs, and we start acting in the same way. That will not work. Nobody can give an opinion on that either. That is another interesting thing. Because nobody can give an opinion, nobody is allowed to give an opinion. Why? Everyone comes to this world with his own prarabdham. Isn't it? We all come to this world with our own prarabdha karmam and with our own vasanas inside. And to think that we will become like somebody and trying to work in that direction is the biggest mistake what we commit. And spiritual life, we are not expected to do that. We should associate. We should take the knowledge. We should take the understanding. But each of us have to chalk out our own route in spiritual life. It's not dependent on anybody else. So recognizing this, and making our own life in that way, control our life in that particular way, and to live in that way, it's called a dharma. You see what dharma means now? To recognize our vasanas, to recognize our own mentality, or in other words, our prarabdham. We know that when you live in this world, you know what your prarabdham is coming in different forms. For example, a person who taken into householder life, husband, wife, children are staying together, and that is his prarabdham. There's nothing you can do about it. You should not think suddenly, oh, if I was a sannyasi, how nice it would have been, and start acting in this life. That will be the biggest blunder. That doesn't work, because a sannyasi, he has his prarabdham to live in that way. He must be thinking, oh, if I was a nice householder, how nice it would be. So both are in trouble. Both the sannyasi in trouble, the householder is also in trouble. It's the same thing with varnam also. A Brahmana starts thinking, oh, if I can earn a lot of money, if I go here, I can make so much, if I go to America, I can lot more than that. And Krishna has given him that body for something higher, but instead he has gone after something else, he will be in trouble. Similarly, if a Shudra is thinking that, let me become a Brahmana, I put 9 threads around me, and I can very clearly show that I am a Brahmana, and tries to impress this world with his Brahmanyam, then that is also trouble. These are all trouble in the world. All these people only create trouble in this world, who are doing all these things. They don't do anything good to this world, rather they create more trouble in this world. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Dharmam means what? Knowing one's own prarabdham, what one comes in the way to accept it, that prarabdham is controlling us. Material nature is controlling us every moment in our life. It is completely controlled. Karma is done through us. We are thinking falsely. That's why Vedavyasa is repeating this in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. What is he saying? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyate. We are not the doer. Krishna is the doer. It is done through this body. That's all it is. Isn't it? In the Bhagavatam also, in the Kapilam, if you read Kapila Maharshi's instructions of Devahuti, Kapila Maharshi also repeats the same thing. So accepting that and acting, living in this world in that way, at the same time, according to the vasanas, carrying out whatever occupation we are engaged in, that is dharmam. That is dharmam. We don't have to go and asking somebody else, am I a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya? Give me a certificate. And then we don't need that. It's already there inside, will tell us our propensities, vasanas inside. Accordingly, we have to act in this world. And that will not cause any conflict inside. That is the advantage from that. So, so otherwise, it should not create any kind of disturbances in life. That is the goal behind it. One should act in one's, according to one's own propensities inside. If you look today's spiritual, modern spiritual life, what's going on? Look at that also. Because it's important. In the modern spiritual world, it is so much disturbances going on. Isn't it? So much disturbances. So, for one who wants to live a spiritual life and once wants to make progress on the spiritual path, he should not have too much activities and engagements in life. He should not have too much activities, because if there is a lot of activities and engagements, then his spiritual progress will be checked. His progress will be checked. He should only engage in his own swadharmam. So nothing else should be on his head. And if he does that, according to his dharmam, if he acts, these things were known to the society in the past. Therefore, there was no conflicts. They lived simple, peacefully executed their life, and they made progress on the spiritual side. Because it doesn't happen, there is no peace inside. There is no one has any peace inside. If we do it the other way, that one executes on swadharmam properly and engage in proper activities, he can do it properly, in the proper way. And also, he can be peaceful. But on the other hand, if everything becomes very complicated and full of troubles, then we will not understand what our swadharmam is. And then what will happen? We will do paradharmam, what we are not supposed to do. So you see the problem there? One thing, you won't do your swadharmam, one mistake. Secondly, you will do the wrong thing, paradharmam, and that Krishna wants in the Bhagavad Gita very, very strongly. Isn't it? Krishna wants that in the Bhagavad Gita. Shrayan sudharmo vigunal paradharmal sunushtidal, Krishna says. It is better to execute one's own sudharmam than executing paradharmam. Why did he say like that? Because if you do that, it will create conflicts inside. And if you create conflicts inside, you will get into trouble later. It will create trouble. We have to live in this world without any conflicts inside. That's more important. That's more important. And especially those who are in the spiritual life, particularly in the spiritual path, those who are taking up the leadership or guidance for others, if in their own life, if they create conflicts in their own inside, they themselves are not sure what they are doing is the right thing, nor do they have that vasanas in there. Artificially, if they do that, what will happen? At some point or the other, they will fall. They will fall. They have to fall. And then, no matter how hard they try, these conflicts will develop into disease. This is why sometimes you see some people live very good spiritual life. Externally it appears like that. But they live with this conflict inside. And that conflict eventually comes out in some form, in the form of illness or in some other disaster. It happens to them. So there are so many subtle things what happens within us, which we are not conscious of. And because we are not conscious of that, because Rajogunam is so strong inside, we want everything the best in this world. Okay, what out of the four ashramas, which is the best? Sannyasi, get all of that, get the danda straight away. Out of the four varnas, which is the best? Brahmana, let me become a Brahmana. If you go in this direction, the whole world will be this kind of Brahmanas and this kind of Sannyasis, what we have today in this world. And then the whole scenario becomes so complex. And nobody knows what is right, what is wrong. And everybody goes after television channels and all other kind of things, looking for spirit. And it gets so complex that they get confused at the end. And not only they are in conflict, they create conflicts in everyone's mind as well. So Krishna is saying that Shrayanso dharmo vigunal paradharmal sunushtidal. Krishna didn't say these things without any deeper thinking behind it. There's a lot of deeper thoughts behind it. A society, when one lives in this way, Krishna says there will be peace in that society. If there is peace in the society, the spiritual knowledge will develop automatically without too much endeavor. Otherwise, it will be a struggle, conflict inside, externally trying to acquire the spiritual knowledge, which doesn't go in. Why? Because the vasanas are not there inside. What can you do? So that is the problem. So Krishna says here that that instead, knowing this very well and inside the heart, knowing very well, one should execute the dharmam first, and based on that the knowledge will automatically grow up inside. And Krishna says in the seventh verse, if you look, Venu sangarshajo vannir dagdva shamyadi tadvanam. Evam gunavityayajo deha shamiri talkriya. Just like Venu sangarshajo vanyo. In the forest, when the bamboos, when they grind each other, immediately fire is created. And that fire, it will destroy the whole forest, isn't it? And ultimately, the fire extinguishes itself without anyone destroying it. Similarly, Krishna says here, evam. Similarly, then from the three modes of nature, when the modes of nature are kshobham, kshobham means that two things here. One, it is a balanced state. When all the three modes of nature are balanced in a person properly, he will not be agitated inside. He will not be agitated. When the modes of nature are unbalanced, which is called Vishamavastha. In Vishamavastha, what happens? He becomes unbalanced inside. That's why kamam, krodham, matsaryam, all these base qualities develops in a person at that time. So that is why Krishna says the balance is necessary inside of sattva, rajas and tamas. So in this verse Krishna is saying here that this material body has come because of that. Why? The modes of nature has unbalanced. And why at that time, due to different vasanas were created, vasanas have become the cause of the subtle body. Subtle body generated the gross body, and we are in this form today. So, but this material body, when this knowledge is developing inside, automatically it will burn these three modes of nature away and become peaceful within itself. Become peaceful within itself. So you can see, important thing Krishna is mentioning there, without peace, this thing is not going to happen. So in order to be peaceful, to become that spiritual progress or spiritual realization in life, peace is an absolute necessity. Not that one who runs all over the world, sometimes here, sometimes there, and doing millions of things, and any time you ask him, he says, I'm very busy in my spiritual life, I have no time for you. And if he says like that, you can take it, he is under, completely under the influence of Rajogunam. There are like that, people like that, they have no time for anything else. They are so busy in their spiritual life. So if it is coming to that state, then to be warning, Krishna is warning there. So So this understanding that similarly, this body also, when its prarabdha karma is finished, says automatically it will drop. It will not exist anymore. Krishna, after saying this, Krishna stayed silent. He didn't say one word. He said all these things to Uddhava and Krishna stayed silent after that. You can see in that verse.
Venu sangarsha jovanyir dagdhva shamyadi tadvanam evam gunavetya ejo deha shamyadi dalkriyaham.
After hearing this, Uddhava's doubt came up. Uddhava started, serious doubts in Uddhava's mind came up. Uddhava's doubts are very interesting here. Why these doubts came to Uddhava? This is an interesting question. Let's understand what Uddhava is saying.
Uddhava uvacha vidandi martya prayena vishayan padamapadam tada vibunjade krishna talkatham shukharajavad.
This is the Uddhava's doubt raised to Krishna. Uddhava is saying,
vidandi martya prayena vishayan padamapadam tadabi bunjade krishna talkatham shukharajavad.
Very beautiful words. Why? He says, Krishna, all these things what you have told, they know, people know generally that sense gratification means what? You are approaching the danger zone. Isn't it? It's danger that's waiting behind that. Any sense gratification, if you turn to sense gratification, it means that there will be a danger afterwards. From sense gratification, what happens? We know very well, either distress will come, some kind of distress must follow from any sense gratification. That's why Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. Desires will develop inside, desires will turn into sense gratification, and that will not help you in spiritual life. Atmanyeva atmana tushta. Krishna says there, isn't it? That to be situated in the self. Sarvan partha manogadan. All desires are coming from the mind. So after saying this, Uddhava says to Krishna that in this world, even people who have a little bit of knowledge, they know that all senses, sense objects and sense gratification or distress will cause distress, and it's a cause of distress. And still, and they are still tadavi bunjade Krishna. And why do they go still after that? This was the question. Tadavi bunjade Krishna tal katham shokhai rajavad. Shokhai rajavad. It's a little bit heavy on us. He's talking about us. You know what he's calling us, Uddhava? Uddhava is calling us. We are like dogs, like asses, and and goats. So, don't protest, because there's no point in protesting. This is what we are. That's why Uddhava is saying, Shuava Kharam Ajam, Shokharajavat. Krishna, Uddhava is asking Krishna, like dogs, like Kharam, the asses, donkeys, or like goats, why are the people after sense gratification? Uddhava is asking this question to Krishna. So, when Uddhava asked this question, Krishna was not at all surprised that it came from Uddhava like this. Because Uddhava is concerned, Uddhava has gone beyond all these things. He was a devotee who is so dear to Krishna. He doesn't require any, on our behalf, that's why I'm saying it's only referring to us. It's not referring to Uddhava. It's referring to us. It's on our behalf Uddhava has asked this question so that Krishna can give us some understanding of this. Shuava, Khairam, Ajam, the three animals selected there, they're very appropriate. In the earlier in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will also see Shovidvara Hoshtragarei Samstuda Purusha Pashu Nayal Karna Kathobedam Jadunama Gadagraja. There also, in the first canto, you will see this verse. So, somehow or the other, it's a very the most appropriate comparison. You can't get a better comparison than this. Why? Comparing to us to a dog. It's the best comparison you can think of. Why is it like that? Have you observed the dogs very carefully? Dogs have got two good qualities. If you beat them with a stick or something, it will run. It won't stay. Or you show frighten them, it will run. You show some food, it will come wagging its tail like this in front of you. This contradicting, opposing quality, he has got it. Who? The dog. If you find the same quality in the human society, what should we call them? What should we call them? If you see this quality, somebody gives you money, offers you a salary or a good income or anything, tail wagging. Somebody beats you with a stick, run away from there straight away, frightened, don't want to have anything to do with you. So this is that quality which we have brought with us from past life. This you will see in spiritual life also. You have to notice, then all is more interesting. Some spiritually advanced souls, when they do this, you start wondering, Uddhava has asked the right question to Krishna. Because spiritual life is not centered around all this doggish mentality. Spiritual life is not a dog's life. If they've got that misunderstanding, oh, I become a dog, everybody's dog, and I listen to every nonsense what they're telling us and waste all my life doing that. That's not spiritual life. Spiritual life, if you become Krishna's dog, it's different. That's surrender. But becoming a dog of everyone else in this world and thinking that this is spiritual life, that's big blunder. That's where you notice this, how people become others' dogs and start acting like that, thinking that they are making progress in spiritual life. That is why apparently the best comparison you can think, the best animal they have selected for that, the dog. If you beat them, he will run. If you show the food, he'll come wagging the tail, eating for the food. This quality, if you see in a person, what else should you call him? In the form, he has got two arms, two legs, everything. Externally, appearance-wise, he is a human body. He has got a human body. This is where you have to recognize this fact that sometimes we have just finished our human animal body and come for the first time to the human body. That's the reason behind it. So that is why you don't see everybody doing that. You don't see this in everyone. Some people are careful not to act like a dog. They will know how to act properly in that situation. And somebody else will act purely like a dog. So why did this difference come? And then somebody else will say, oh, he's so submissive. You see, look at him. He has accepted everything and he does everything whatever he has been told. That's not the thing to do with spiritual life. Spiritual life is all based on Krishna's words, instructions in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, not otherwise. Otherwise, it will all go in the wrong direction. So, here, Uddhava is asking this question, as I mentioned before, that 99% we are animals when we come out from the animal's body to the human body. We got the form, that's all. But inside that body, subtle body inside, is still an animal. He's still a animal. And that is the reason why there is so much fighting, isn't it? Goes on in this world. They're all supposed to be, we are all civilized and we have got all this, all the beautiful words to describe ourselves. But Krishna's point here is that the individual, when he comes to Shukharajavad, that no matter whatever you have done to him, the dog will come back to you. Even if you have beaten him, if you show the food, he'll come back to you. That's his beauty. And similarly, the next one, he has talked about karam, isn't it? Asses. And this ass nature is, as you know very well, Shovidura, Hoshtagarai, there also the same thing comes. Ass will carry the load whole lifetime. As much as you load it, he will carry it. Because eventually what he needs in this world is so little. Isn't it? He needs in this world is so little. And for that little thing, he is willing to do any amount of work. Any amount of work. So similarly, if you see that quality in that, and then he also mentioned about and the goat. Goat's nature. What is goat's nature? Goat will eat anything, isn't it? Anything you offer, it will eat paper also sometimes. Goat eats all kinds of grass. It has no discrimination in that sense. And goat also, another most important thing than that, goat has got another weakness. What is that? When all goats, if you put them in the truck and take it to the slaughterhouse, If you suddenly show some food in front of the goat, he won't worry about the slaughter. He will think about the food, what it can get to eat. Even to the last minute, before it gets killed, if there is any food offered to the goat, it will go after the food. It will go after the food. Even the next minute, he is going to be slaughtered. But he doesn't know. He doesn't know that. So, when you look into these three animals, don't you think that we were created as a mixture of all the three? In us, all these three animals' qualities are in us as well, isn't it? Very much so. Maybe one third each, you can say that the doggish nature is there, the ass nature is there, and the nature of the goat also. We are going to be killed sooner than later. One day it is going to come, no matter what we do, it's going to come, and we have to go. Knowing very well, we are busy with our sense gratification here. How to become wealthy, how to engage in so many other happiness of this world, what we have created centered around us and the family. We are making big, big plans around us, isn't it? So that is coming from that goat's nature. As nature, helplessly we keep on thinking that if I make a lot of wealth, although I need so little, I acquire so much wealth in this world, unable to, not knowing what to do with it at the last minute. That happens. And the dog's nature is very clear that no matter how much we are beaten, if we are beaten we go, if we are offered something we come, accepting that. These are all coming from that animal kingdom, what we have brought with us when we came to this human body. So this is Uddhava's doubts. Why, how come that all these three animals are controlling the human society so well? That's why he was asked, Bunjade Krishna, then Tadabhi Bunjade Krishna, Shokharajavad, he says, Tadabhi Bunjade Krishna, Talkatham Shokharajavad, he says there, isn't it? So, again and again, sense gratification is troublesome. It is going to bring problems to us. We keep on doing it again at the same time. So, Krishna says here that same thing with the... when we come through different bodies, we have acquired these animal propensities in us. We acquired all these animal propensities in us. And the part of that propensity, what has come with us, starts coming out through this way. Now, the interesting thing is, what Uddhava has spoken, sages have spoken then, now, the scientists are also started admitting this. They are saying, after analyzing the DNA and all that, they are saying there is a particular part of the animals in us, certain animals in us. Their DNA studies have proven that they are also animals are in us as well. That DNA cells are saying this. So, and similarly, there are certain astrologers who are, you may have heard about this, that Bhrigu-Valli and all that, Bhrigu's chart, which will tell you what you were in the previous life, and Nadi Jolsyam and so many things like that. They can tell you all these things in the previous life, what life you had. And we have come through all that different species, cats, dogs, everything, and crow, all kinds of things. And you can observe people and you can see this nature in them. Quite often, all these different animals' nature. And similarly, many of these nature will come up in us also sometimes. In us also. All these vasanas have come to us in that way. And 99% animal and 1% human being, that's how he came about. So when such people who 99% animals and 1% human being, when that population increases in this world, there will be a lot of fighting, quarreling, killing, beating, bombing. All these kind of things will increase. So you can see why people ask this, why there is United Nations and all can't solve this problem. This problem has to be solved inside. Because United Nations doesn't know what we were in the previous life, do they? They don't know what we were in the previous life. In the previous life, a bunch of animals. They suddenly got a human body and came here. And after coming here, they start doing the same animal activity here. Is there any wonder in that? What United Nations can do? Nobody can help us unless this vasanas goes away from inside. So that's what it's saying here, that such people, that population increases, wars will develop. Automatically wars will be there. Then only difference is the animals use their horns and the claws and the nails and everything. We use the guns and the bombs and all. Where exactly is the difference in this? The vasanas are same, no difference. Only the way the vasanas manifest is different. That's the only difference. So only thing is, animal plus intellect, it becomes more dangerous. Animals, have you noticed, they'll kill another animal either for food or for self-defense. That's all. And, but human society, what it does? He will develop trident and something beyond that. Because he's not the fear inside. Why? He has got that animal's fear inside, plus he has also got the another thing. What is it? The intelligence. So because the intelligence will help him to develop sophisticated things, this animal propensity will be developed into a much higher level. So he'll go on developing such equipments or such weapons that his fear inside, fear itself is a symptom of an animal. Fear itself is a symptom of an animal, isn't it? Manye kodaschil bhayam achyudasya padambu yobasane matra nityam. Udigna bugne asadalma bhava. In the Kavi Maharshi says in the Ekadasha Skandam that when we fall away from our spiritual understanding, bhayam will follow, fear will come to us. Otherwise there is no need for any fear in this world. Fear has come because of falling down in our material life. So, in our material consciousness. So, Krishna is saying here that the it becomes much more dangerous because he has got animal purposes inside, plus he has got the intelligence inside. So what will happen? He will use his intelligence for all this kind of pragradam, or in other words, very base qualities will come out of that. Not only that, even though he knows that sense objects are going to cause distress, still he will glorify that all the time. And he will be keep on glorifying about sense gratification. And in our external life in this world, and that is what our education also today, isn't it? So that is why this education, what we are receiving today, is eventually making us go down in that platform. We'll discuss it next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.